any of you ever seen a blueprint? I'm sure you have. And most of you, I would assume, live in some type of structure with apartment, condo, home, that sort of thing. You know, generally homes have a floor plan, and that's where all of the important activities of our life, for the most part, take place. Generally, it has a living room, maybe a family room, a lounge, maybe the kids' room, various types of bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchens, laundries, garage. A lot of people have gardens. Real proud of, you know, all the greenery in there. You know, everybody has like a little special place in their environment, or a number of different places. You know, Todd might say, you know, our place has to have a garage because I've got all these things that I've got to store in there. And that's what garages are in California for the most part. They're just a big storage space. I'm very enthused and blessed with people who actually put their cars in garages. I know there are some people here who that does occur. I can't say maybe one day out of the entire time I've lived at the house we're currently in, I cleaned out enough space to put a car in there, and then I backed it out, and then it filled up again, so that was it. But, yeah, it's something. And also, people might have craft rooms. They might have sewing rooms. They might have a computer. They might have even their home office, right? All these different things are criteria for people thinking, I got to have, and hey, even maybe a place to work out. I'm going to have my own home gym. Something. But a lot of times those rooms double as other things too, right? A lot of times the bedroom doubles as something else. It becomes the study room, right? It becomes your office. It becomes a lot of different things. How about the school projects, sewing projects, all those things? Maybe they come out into the dining room table, right? All these things sort of spill out into these different areas. The garage may end up being sort of a workshop, too. It has tools. It has all sorts of things that ended up taking place in there. A storage place for desert toys. A place where you can work on those things. See. And you know, the suggestion can never be made that everything we do is encompassed by the walls and the boundary fences of our houses and our gardens and our rooms. You know, a lot of work, a lot of shopping, a lot of social contact, cultural activities, they take place elsewhere. But hey, you think anyone's ever thought about a prayer room in a home? We designate all these other activities to be taking place in all these different areas in a home. But how about a place to go and pray? You know, I don't think in all the time that I've been in God's Word, I've ever come across a house with a prayer room in it. Have you? You've been in a lot of different homes throughout the years. Maybe you have. I know years ago, we did have a place called the House of His Healing Presence. A lot of times if you go to Tucson, they have a specially designated room that's a prayer room where you can specifically go. It's open 24 hours a day. You know, in our home, I would say there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of people that live there. We have a multitude of rooms. And I would say the participating, the eating of the scriptural food, the praying, the reading of the word, you know, it's going to take place in different places throughout the house, I would say, in people's bedrooms or maybe outdoors, on the patio, maybe in an office. But, you know, really the issue isn't where we do it. So much. It isn't where we are when we reflect on God's word and we open our hearts and our lives up to spend time in prayer. But they are important in building and maintaining our relationship with God. You see, like meals, prayer and Bible reading should be regular, not sporadic. I doubt seriously if anyone in this room would eat sporadically. Some people do. I'm not hungry now, I just won't eat. Well, that's fine, but if you're a family and you're a wife who for the most part, ends up being the one who prepares the food in the home, you just don't generally operate on a schedule like that. You know, you have children, you have others in your household who like to eat on a more regular basis than, oh, well, let's just, you know, whenever. Let's just go for it. You see, a prayer room would really only be of use if you used it. If it helps us to maintain a regular time and place to get along with God. You ever heard of John and Charles Wesley? Well, their mother, her name was Susanna, and they were part of a very large family. There wasn't much space in the home that they lived in that she could claim for her own. It is said she would throw her apron over her head. The children knew not to disturb her. It was her prayer time. Lots of kids, lots of activity, lots of things going on. Like, where do I get alone? That was the thing that they recognized for her. You know, Jesus Christ had the same problem. Because wherever he went, people crowded in, listening to his words, seeking deliverance, seeking help, seeking hope, seeking healing. Son of God on earth, no problem. Open his mouth and the right words will come. Stretch forth his hand and the sick will be healed. Really? Is that the way it worked? Well, that's sometimes how we all imagine it. It was. That he was just automatically immune from anything that ever went on in the world. He lived a completely stress-free life. No problems. Always had the right thing to say. Always did. Really? That how it happened, you think? Philippians chapter 2. This is such a great subject matter because it's always so real. It's always so timely. In Philippians chapter 2, oh gosh, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Literally meaning he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, that made himself nothing. Literally, he emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's it. He emptied himself. He was living on earth with the same limitations as you and I have, and with the same access to God Almighty as you and I have. Sometimes we have thought of Jesus Christ as a tremendous example, but who could ever follow him? After all, as the Son of God, think of all his advantages. But he says he emptied himself. When he walked a long way, guess what? He became tired and thirsty. When the Roman lashes hit his back, they actually really drew real human blood and caused searing human pain. They nailed him to a Roman cross, and he died a real human death. Of course, that wasn't the end of the story, because Paul goes on and continues to say here in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, in his earthly life, Jesus Christ was in constant relationship with the Father. Well, actually, the reality is he never got out of fellowship with God. Ever. As a man with human limitations, it became critically important that Jesus Christ spend much time in fellowshipping with and in talking with God, commonly also known as prayer. Look in Mark 6. We were starting there. And the reason I think God has just worked this thing in my heart again, you know, I've taught on this subject a number of different times. The secret place, green pastures, quiet seas, a place of rest, is because we're constantly looking for it. It's not like you ever just completely arrive and then you're there. You have to keep going there, or there will be other turbulent things, life, work, kids, meals, putting food on the table, paying bills, doing this and that, and dogs and vacations and time off and moving. And wow, where's all the time gone? Mark 6. Look at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to what? They didn't even have time. You know, he just wanted to spend time with them, listening to them about the mission that he had sent them on. But the crowds had gathered around, and the pressure was to such a point, they couldn't even fit in a meal. And you know what he says to them? Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Wow. Jesus Christ actually told his disciples to come with him to a quiet place and get rest. Look at verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. But a very interesting thing happened. Verse 33. The people saw him departing. No, Jesus is leaving. We can't. He's going without us. What it was in his heart? Take the disciples away and get some rest, right? Share his heart with them, let them talk. They see he's leaving. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. Wasn't very solitary when they arrived, was it? But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So, you know what Jesus began to do? This is incredible. Verse 34. When he came out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion. Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself in selfless service. Oh, the temptation, the desire to just run away and hide and get away and just, but look where what happened. It's incredible. And so he began to teach them many things. And as the people listened, it became late, and the people were hungry. Imagine Jesus and the disciples were hungry, pretty hungry by then too. Right? They had already passed up one meal. Now they were in the middle of something else with all these other folks. And that's when Jesus Christ fed the crowd of 5,000 on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he sent his disciples ahead of him in the boat when he dismissed them. You can read it in the record. In verse 46. It says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. At last, a quiet, solitary place. Wasn't easy for Jesus to get to that quiet place, was it? Wasn't like he was just walking and, always tiptoeing through the meadow and the tulips and everything just kind of moved out of it. This was a real person who was living a real life just like us. And you know what? He had to fight for this time. You will have to fight for this time to get to that quiet, solitary place to spend time with God. A busy schedule, Well, verse 47, and when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rolling, in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. In the middle of the lake, the disciples were having a very hard time. The wind was against them. They were straining at the oars. Here comes Jesus, walking out of the water, walking on the water. Guess he got out of the boat, huh? Warren? Got out of the boat, climbed into the boat, wind died down. Something. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, don't be afraid. And he went up into them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves and beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Why do you think their heart was hardened? Fear. Looking at things through the five senses. Maybe not having that communal time with God. Really drawing their hearts close. See? Look at verse 53. And then when they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch it, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. This was a busy individual. They saw him coming. They knew he was coming. And as a result of that, they gathered all the sick people, all the devil-possessed people, all the people and all the problems, and brought them to Jesus. Wow. We think we got problems. Yeah. You know, Jesus Christ, he really expressed the need for a quiet place in verse 32. Remember that? When they departed into a desert place by ship privately. He was under constant pressure. In all the turmoil and excitement of the ministry he was involved in, described in the 27 verses here in Mark chapter 6, just one of them gives us the key. In verse 46, it says, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to do one thing. Pray. Jesus Christ did not do this because he was just tiptoeing through the tulips. He was spending time in prayer, in heart relationship and fellowship with God. Constant communication with God was absolutely essential to his ministry. You know, there's an old spiritual song that says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed regular prayer during his earthly life, why do we imagine we can get away with so much less? Someone has said the busier we become, the more time we need to spend in prayer. It doesn't seem to work that way, does it? Sadly, the busier we are, the more likely we will find less or no time for prayer. Martin Luther said that he found he needed to spend at least an hour in prayer daily, and if he didn't spend two, the devil would get the better of him. George Mueller said, the less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. These are words of men who have stood the test of time, and I think it's a great reproof to our own hearts at times that the farther you get away from the fire, the colder you get. See? The ember strikes out from the fire, see. The less you read the word, the less the desire is for you to want to read it. The less you pray, the less the desire is to want to pray. See. There's a good reason. We pray, and we need to pray, Because our lives depend upon our Heavenly Father. We need to stay plugged into Him. How do we do that in practice may vary from person to person. For some, the prayer room concept may be helpful, but for all of us, there are principles that can help us to build a quiet place. The thing is not in the middle of all this to now set up some sort of structure or law or whatever. It's to recognize the need to be able to facilitate it. You know, prayer should be a natural sharing of our life with God at all times and everywhere. But there's a good likelihood we are more likely to do it if we have a specific time and place that we can reasonably set aside as prime time for God. You know, we read the Bible as a informational source from God. It's a message from God to be able to inform us, to correct us, and to grow in our lives. Someone once mentioned that you focus your prayer time with what is called the Acts pattern: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. How about that? Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplications. See, for others and yourself. You know, something I think that's really helpful is you keep a prayer diary. You ever done that before? Made a list of things. Todd and Shelley used to have it on the refrigerator at one point in time where they lived, like a list of things they were praying about. When the prayers would be answered, they'd just mark them off. So when you came in the house, you saw on the refrigerator, prayer list, cross, cross, cross. Kind of cool. See, but you can do it and make it your own way. See. You know, in verse 31 of Mark 6, Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Someone has said that if you don't come ye apart and rest a while, that soon you will come to come ye apart phase. You understand? Instead of come ye yourselves apart, you're going to come to the part where you're going to be falling apart. Three. We need a quiet place. We need rest, refreshment, time to re-strengthen, energize. See. We need the quiet place because we need God. Because we need to refocus our lives. Because we need to draw on His grace and His Spirit. Value the time when you can be alone with God. Then you will know that He is with you, reaching out to you in the hassle and in the turmoil of the rest of your life and the rest of life as we understand it. Take the time that's necessary. I'd like to close reading this paragraph from a great little book by Philip Keller called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. We have had it available in the bookstore and may still have it out there. In the Christian life, it is of more than passing significance to observe that those who are often the most serene, the most confident, and able to cope with life's complexities are those who rise early each day to feed on God's Word. It is in the quiet early hours of the morning that they are led beside the quiet still waters where they imbibe the very life of Christ for the day. This is much more than mere figure of speech. It is practical reality. The biographies of the great men and women of God repeatedly point out how the secret of the success in their spiritual life was attributed to the quiet time of each morning. There, alone, still, waiting for the Master's voice, one is led gently to the place where, as the old hymn puts it, the still dews of His Spirit can be dropped into my life and soul. One comes away from these hours of meditation, reflection, and communion with Christ, refreshed in mind and spirit. The thirst is saturated, and the heart is quietly satisfied. Heavenly Father, thank You for the way You work with us, Father, and help us to get to that quiet place, Father, in our hearts, that we're distinguishing and hearing Your small voice. and that we are enjoying the presence of being in that place with you, Father, that you will show us and reveal things to us and help us. And Father, that we never lose that desire to be where we need to be. So I thank you for this, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.